Christ, one of the key things of the story of Christ is that, you know, this was the most important man that walked the earth, but he came for a reason, and we're going to talk a bit about that. But before I begin this morning, I do want to make mention, you know, this past week, a man named John MacArthur passed. He was 86 years old when he passed. He was the pastor of Grace Fellowship in Sun Valley, California, out in L.A. How many people have listened to John MacArthur's teaching? Right? I would say, if not the greatest, he's certainly at the top of the list of expository teachers of our day and age. John MacArthur has to be pretty much at near the top of the list of what he does, and he was a faithful man. So, you know, he was the son of a preacher, right? He came from a family of preachers. I think his testimony is, I don't really remember not being in Christ. I just grew up that way, but he was a sinner that had to be saved by Christ. I think one of the things that he was best known for is he was an and teacher. The word and. He was very much that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, right? It's not one or the other. He is your Lord and your Savior. And that was, you know, he would ruffle some feathers out every now and then with that, but that was what he was about. And I appreciate his teaching. We will miss him. He is within the presence of the Lord right now. And praise God, we all have that to look forward to. Amen? Amen. I would say one of the things, you know, even John MacArthur sinned. He did. And he was in the need, and he had to fight the battle of the flesh and the soul and walking in this world, right? He just like each one of us, but he got to say, I have finished the race, right? That song, I've got a home in glory, land that outshines, that's right. I've got a home in glory. He's in glory right now, waiting for his body rests and waiting for that presence to come back together. And with that, we have the freedom of Christ. And that's kind of what my title is today. Do I got the focus on that thing? What's it? There we go. Oh, you know what? I have to turn this on. I'm the electronics guy. Look, there it is. All right. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. We didn't have a worship service this morning. I'm the worship leader, but we're going to sing a cappella. A cappella? And I know this is a challenge for some of you guys. I'm so glad. Jesus, wait, stop. I got us clapping way too fast. It should be, I'm so glad. Clap. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. That I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me. Let's do it again. Now we got it. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. That I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Amen. Amen. You believe that? You know, there's other verses of that. It says, God sent his son to set his people free. We sing that one. It says, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. It's another verse we sing to that. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So what I want to start today with is a verse in 2 Timothy. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. You know, the kids spent the week in VBS going through these things, and his plan was revealed in Genesis. Right? Let's step back. God's plan from the beginning, when God created, when the Godhead said, let there be light at the beginning of time, before he even said that, he had a plan. You're involved in that plan. He had a plan. Nothing, it didn't surprise him what happened. Our omniscient God knows everything. From before the beginning of time, he had a plan. And his plan was you. Because why did the Word become flesh? For you. Why did he do the things he did? Why did he go to the grave, go to the cross, pay the price? He did that for you. Why is he called the firstborn of the resurrection, firstborn of the dead? He did that for you. His plan is for his people to fellowship with him. And with that, we have to understand that when he created it, it was for his pleasure. The scriptures, the various scriptures that say it was for his pleasure that he created this stuff. And I need to tell you that the creation we're in right now is temporal. Right? This earth, this rock we walk on, it's going to go away. Touch self. That stuff, it's either going to go away or it's going to get drastically changed. Some of us say, yay, I'm waiting for that day, right? Amen? But we have this plan that was in this place, but then one of the things they did at the very, very beginning of the drama was they did the Adam and Eve story. And Adam and Eve were in fellowship with God, and everything was as he created it. And like, this is my fellowship. I want to have communion with you and fellowship with the people. It says he walked with them. How can you do that? How can you walk with the ultimate holiness of God? Because at that point, they were sinless. Then they screwed up. Right? They disobeyed. Sin entered the world. And there's a problem. It was sin. So sin entered the world, and now we live, I'm going to use this phrase a bunch of times today, the muck and the mire of sin. We have to trudge through this place. Why does the world have ugliness in it? Because of sin. Why is this life hard sometimes? Because of sin. Why is it ugly? People are ugly to one another. Because of sin, right? It tainted God's creation. But his plan from before the beginning of time was to fix it and to give you freedom. I have a little picture. I knew I'd get somebody, oh, isn't that cute? Cute little piggy. Isn't it cute? And I also say, you know, you get these little infants. They're so cute little infants, these little kids running around. We saw in the red shirts and little kids running around. And you know what that is a picture of? That's a picture of pure flesh, right? That little baby is only happy if its life is fine, right? As soon as that little baby is hungry, wah! As soon as that little baby is tired, wah! As soon as that baby is not comfortable, wah! Does that baby care about you? No. It's a 100% picture of flesh. That little lovely infant, we all go, ooh, isn't that cute? And I look at that little infant, I say, that's just flesh. And then they turn 3. And then they turn 4. And then they get 5 and get big enough to start hurting things, right? Those little flesh bodies, those little things that were created, when that sin fall happened, it's just like that pig. Y'all said, oh, that's cute. That pig, his nature, it's just to be in the muck and the mire. He's just happy. He's like, this is where I belong. I belong in this muck and the mire. I like the waller. It's Ozarks, we can say waller, right? And I know it ends in O-W, but we can waller in the mud and the muck and the mire. That's what pigs do. But that's not what God wants. It's not his plan. That's the sin nature. And sometimes we think it's cute. It's not. The moment of salvation, that old nature is crucified, gone. You are now a Lamb of Christ. What's the problem with that picture? Does that lamb belong there? Is that where a lamb's supposed to be? Still in the muck and the mire. That's ugly. What is that lamb going to do? You see in the background, there's someone coming to rescue him, even running to this lamb. Who is that? Jesus. And that rescuing gives you the freedom not just to change that old nature into a new nature of a lamb. That's a moment in time. There's a day of our salvation. There's a day in our life that God saved me. Now I've got decades to walk upon this earth with muck and mire all around me. Who can help? How can I get there? Who's going to not only rescue me to make me into a Lamb of God, but who's going to rescue me from this place that's full of ugliness? So that's why I say, when God saved us, he called us into a holy life. He didn't call us to be saved. As John MacArthur would say, yeah, salvation is the door. It's the beginning. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I am the door of the Lamb, the door of the sheep, he said. But he calls you to live a holy life. We're going to walk decades upon this earth after that. What do we do? How do we do that? It's his plan. His plan is to sanctify you. Did a little noun, a verb definition. To sanctify is to set apart as, or to declare as holy, to consecrate. And then it says, other parts of definition of sanctify is free from sin, pure. God's sanctification work on you, actually, we're going to talk about, is actually, we can almost put it into three parts. And his plan is to sanctify you. Why? That's not rhetorical. Why? Why do we need to be holy? To be in the presence, right? His purpose of creation before the beginning of times, I want these people. Let's create mankind in our image. What is my image? What is the image of God? Holy, pure. I created them in my image. Why? Because I want to commune with them. Sin messed it up. I got to fix it. I need to sanctify them. I need to set them apart. I need to declare them. Ooh, that's a good big statement. I want to declare you as holy. Wait, I'm like that. I'm got more muck up to my ears right now. I got to shake it off, right? I'm going to declare you as holy. I'm going to consecrate you. I'm going to make you free from sin, and I'm going to purify you. That's my plan. It's like this, and I have to quote Dr. Emmett Brown off of Back to the Future. I apologize for the crudity of this model. It's not to scale. It's not to scale, but it's the idea that there's the sinfulness of man and there's the holiness of God, and we're separated from that. We are tainted. We are out of touch with God. That pig can go nowhere near the holiness of God. That pig would be destroyed before we even got there. But there's things that happen. One is justification. The day of your salvation, it's an event, folks. It's like the day I was saved. Belief came, faith allowed me to believe what God said, and I am saved. At that moment, your old nature is crucified. You're no longer the cute little piglet, right? You no longer have that nature of wanting the wallow in the mug. You are now a lamb, one of God's sheep. You've been changed. You've been justified legally. This is like a legal statement. From a legal perspective, you've been justified. And it's an instant. And it's an event. It's the day of my justification. Now I got to walk this earth for the next 50, 60, who knows, years. What do I do? The next part of this, God's plan, goes on as we walk. As we walk, right? Sanctification. Wait, I'm sanctified at justification too, right? Yes, I am. Part of sanctification is this justification step. There's a step. You are saved. Your new nature is old. Your new nature is gone. Your old nature is gone, excuse me. Your new nature is now. You are legally, from a forensic standpoint, Tracy said, don't use that word. It is. Anyway, it means if I examine it and look at it, I'm justified. He declared me as holy. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night? Said, how do I get this eternal life thing? What was his answer? Born again. born of water and then born of what? Spirit, right? So in essence, you think we are triune being, we are spirit, just because that's God's image. In Genesis 2:7, it says, into man he breathed into his nostrils his breath of life, right? We are eternal. Yes, we are. We're eternal. And you're eternally going to be where he is, or you're eternally going to be where he's not. Choose to be where he is, right? Amen? So our spirit at justification, born again. I am born again. I am born of the Spirit. I am justified in Christ. Now I still got this soul of mine and this fleshly body of mine that's all mucky, and he wants to cleanse it, and he wants to sanctify it, and he wants to set it apart. That's what sanctification is. You're going to walk through that. We're going to walk through it. And then one day we sing that song, Oh Glorious Day. We sing that song here, you know, that one day when heaven, Oh Glorious, we have this idea that the clouds that we talked about, one day, boom, you will be glorified. We'll talk about glory in a minute, but basically glorified means to be like him. Because in order to be where he is, remember back at creation, let us create them in our image and in our likeness. We have to get back to being like God so that we can be where he is. And even though as we sanctify, we got a ways to go, and he's going to just say, I'm just going to do it. And these are bookends, right? You got a bookend. There's a day of your justification, sometimes, hopefully soon. There's justification on your side. This side, there's a day coming. First the dead in Christ will be right. Then we who remain will be caught up. Will be changed in an instant. Boom, glorified. With that, we have freedom. We're going to talk about three things of freedom. We are in Christ. We are free from first the penalty of sin. That sin penalty, when he said in the garden, you have to leave now, you are going to die because sin, you have disobeyed me, you're dead now. Remember, he had to kill something to cover them. So penalty of sin, be freed from that. Next, the power of sin in your life. Remember that pig? That pig wallers because that's all it knows. Sheep shouldn't be in the muck and mire. We'll talk about you are free from the power of sin over your life. And ultimately, when glory happens, he wants to get us to the point where we're not even in the presence of sin anymore. That's what I'm looking forward to, right? That's where he is. And to be where he is, there is no sin. And we're going to be free even from even the presence of sin. It's not even going to be a part of the equation anymore. I look forward to that day. So, let me see how far off my notes I am. All right, free from the penalty of sin. Here we go. Free from the penalty. For the wages, we all know this, right? For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. So, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen? And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This penalty of sin is a big deal. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So this justification step, that day of your salvation, what does it do? It's the remission of the penalty of sin. This is, if you got the notes, Romans 3:23, which we have up on there, Romans 8:1, 1 Peter 2:24, the remission of the penalty of sin, right, which was death. Jesus took our, we did that with little kids, and I have to say the drama team, we had the drama over in that thing. That was Thursday, right? It was the stormy day. And we gave all the kids a little black piece of scarf to represent the sin that's on them. And we put the character of Jesus up there on the cross, and he had a white robe on and black lights, and it was all glowing, basically. And we had each of those kids walk up there, take the sin off of their shoulder, and lay it on Christ. Every one of them. Every worker. Every helper. And before we were done, you couldn't see Jesus anymore because he was covered in our sins. I'm sitting there watching this as a grown-up, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. And in the act, they had Alden. He said, it is finished. And then the narrator said, and with that, Jesus died. And outside, it went. I'm not kidding. And I went, oh. It was a great day. I'm getting emotional, the fact that I saw that and the fact that my sin covered up Christ and he took it. And I don't have it anymore. That's why I love the third verse of it as well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's my favorite verse in everything we've seen. That's why I do it so slow and quiet. Anyway, it wasn't written that way originally. So the remission of the penalty sin. Your sin is taken care of. Praise God. Amen. Second thing is the restoration of God's favor. They were kicked out of the garden. They couldn't be around him anymore. They were outside of his favor, which is John 3:36. So justification is more than just this acquittal. It's more than a legal of you're no longer guilty for it. It's now, it's also an acceptance. You are my child. You are with me now. You are in standing with me. How beautiful that is. Even co-heirs with Christ, which I can't even get that around my head. How can I be, you know, it says we're supposed to be kings and queens in the kingdom of God and co-heirs with Christ. How can, that one's like, I don't deserve that. How's that going to happen? God's grace. He has a great, he wants your presence. And finally, the imputation, the imputedness, he imputes his righteousness on you. So you are, look, when you've heard John, when God looks at you as a Christian, he sees no sin, right? Your sins are not counted against you anymore. You are have imputed righteousness. That's what the free from the penalty of sin, that's the day of salvation, my justification. I am now free from the penalty of this sin. Praise God. Amen. So we're free from the penalty of sin, and now I got to walk upon the earth for the next few decades. Lord, have mercy on me. Yes, thank you, brother. Right? Because I know me. Do you know you? Right? How many of you had to teach your little ones how to steal something? How many of you had to teach your little ones how to lie? How many of you, did anyone say that? Let me teach them great ways to lie? How'd they do that? Wrong nature, right? So we're free from that penalty of sin. Now we have to walk in it. Trouble is, we are, I'm sorry, I better look at my notes. I'll get ahead of them. Slaves, just as that pig really didn't know any better than just to be in the muck and mire, because that's what pigs do, right? So we need to be free from the power of sin. His rescuing of you is that sin has no power on you anymore. You're no longer a piglet. You're not a pig. You're a sheep. You shouldn't be in that muck and mire. Remember when we did the penalty of sin, we did Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death? Let's back up a few scriptures. Let's back up a little bit. Go back and get some context on this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. You were a pig. And what was the result? You now are ashamed of the things you did. Those things that end in eternal doom. But now, you are free from the power of sin and become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Why? For the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And eternal life is not just that salvation day. Eternal life is here, we're walking upon this earth, and I have Jesus as my advocate day by day by day. And I am now no longer a slave, because if I look at this, for we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The muck and the mire may be around us. You may have to sling some off still. But it has no power over your life. The power it used to have, you didn't even know you were doing it half the time. But you are free. A slave, I want to make a note on a slave. A slave has a master and does what the master says. So when your slave was sin, what'd you do? You sinned. And you liked it. And you felt good about it. But the old man's
master was sin. But our master now is God. It even says we're slaves to righteousness. Let me make another note a little bit about saved. I have one, but a slave was owned, kept by the master, and the master fed them. It was the master's job to feed them. It was the master's job to house them. It was the master's job to deal with them because that were their slaves. You think about it, man. If I'm a slave to God, ooh, he's my master. That's a good gig. Amen? Is he a hard master? You're supposed to say yes because he is. Right? It's not an easy trip. But it's joyful. And it's what God has planned for you. So I'm thankful. I want to be in the master's household as a slave. Amen? As opposed in the other guy's household. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal you therefore, my brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, muck and mire, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. What is your mind? In our three-part creation, our three-part existence, what is your mind? Say soul. My soul, right? Okay, great. So my soul, right? The mind, will, and emotions, that's what we say our soul is, right? So we are, our spirit has been saved. Our spirit has been justified. We've been born again. Our spirit is in standing with God, pure. My soul, not so much. And my fleshly body, really not so much. Okay? So we have to get through that. What is that freedom and power from sin? First off, it says, do not be conformed to the world. I often say there's, when a word is used in scripture, we need to understand the context. Like when I say earth, right? Sometimes the earth means this planet. Sometimes the earth, same thing with world. Right? Sometimes world means the planet, right? God created the world, right? So that means the rock we're standing on. Sometimes the word world means the people on it. For God so loved the, that he gave his only son, right? And that means the people on the planet. The other time you see the word world, it's the world system. It's the muck and the mire, right? And that's this world. Do not be conformed to this world. It's the worldly way of thinking, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For it's the battle. It's the battle that we walk upon this earth is the battle for our soul and our body. And we have to fight the good fight. It is a fight, right? I finished the race, it says, Paul said in his epistles. So it's the battle for your soul. The spirit is justified and born again, but we still trudge through the earth in our fallible body and our weak minds. We need a rescuer. Who's the rescuer? I go back to the picture, right? Jesus is still your rescuer, right? That's who you do. So let's do this real quick. I want to tell you, before I go to the next scripture, quick little context change, because I want each of you to kind of think through this. It's summertime. How many got like yard work? Outside work, doing maybe even work where you get dirty, right? Tracy, I get outside and sweat a lot and muck and get dirt and mud, and she says, you've ruined that shirt. That's what shirts are for, right? To be ruined? I think. That's why, go to Hobby Lobby, and like $3.50 a piece, just get a bunch. But I come up to the house, I'm walking up to the house, and I'm just, you know, drenched head to toe. You guys know this, right? You're drenched head to toe. You smell. You got all this nastiness on you. And she's like, go through the garage. Do not come in my house, right? Go through the garage. I have to take the shoes off to not, you know. And I stop in the laundry room, and I dump all the nasty clothes off. And then I go take a shower. When I'm done taking the shower, I should come back and put those clothes back on, right? How many of you come back and put those clothes back on? Stop it. Because Ephesians says to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. Back to this renewed. But renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the second time we're telling us to get renewed minds. Be renewed by the spirit of your mind and put on new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. People, when you're walking through this, sin has no more power on you. Stop putting the old nasty clothes back on. You know what I'm saying? Sin has no power in your life. You can't make you do it anymore. You don't have to. The one that dwells in you, right? We've heard this, right? At the moment of that justification, we are indwelt with God. I often like to say that it's not like, because sometimes when you see the little picture, I got this little hole that God fits in. Erase that from your mind. Just eradicate that from your mind. That's not what we're talking about. You're kind of like, you know those big old huge sponges? You've seen those? The big natural sponges have the holes all in them, whatever, right? And you have this big old huge, that's you. And you were in the muck and mire. And if I pick up that sponge and squeezed it, all the goo comes out, right? No. When you're justified, you're taken out of darkness. And your big old sponge of you, you're put into Christ. And that fills you everywhere you go. And that sponge is full of God. Now when I pick that sponge up and stuff oozes on me, what's oozing on me? Goodness, righteousness, that's what we want. So, you know, when you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, stop, get rid of the little, I got a little hole, little God-shaped hole. That's a blasphemous thing to me. Get rid of that. You are filled. You are in Christ, our ultimate, eminent Lord of all. Fills me. And sin has no power in my life. We're supposed to be renewed in our mind, and the mind is the key to the Christian life. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Your mind is where you start. Your sin is going to your temptations. Sin is going to manifest itself in your mind. He says, renew your minds. You should be ashamed of what you used to do. Renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? What is it? First off, the Greek word that we translate as repent, you know what it really means in the it says change your mind. That's what repentance really means. Change your mind. Who changes your mind? This is a Sunday school answer. Who changes your mind? Jesus, right? I always told Sunday school, if you don't know my answer to my question when I'm asking a question in Sunday school, just say Jesus, you're probably right. In this case, you're right. Right? Who's going to give you a renewed mind? Jesus is. How do you do that? Well, there's no hidden formula. There's no special revelation you need to learn this, folks. It's pretty simple how you renew your mind. Fill your mind with God's Word. It's really simple. Dr. Willie's up here almost every week. Have you read the Word? Are you living in the Word? The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Well, that's what matters. In the beginning was the Word. He spoke a Word and everything came into being. At the end of times, what's going to happen when the Jesus, not the Lamb, the Lion comes? And what's going to strike down everybody? The word of his mouth. He's going to walk and he's going to say, boo, and everybody's dead. The word of God is it. Faith comes by, and hearing by the word of God, right? It is God's word. There's no secret. How do I get this renewal in my mind? You get into the word. You just love the word. You live the word. You do the word. I think one of the things with John MacArthur had been, he was known as the guy who taught the Bible with the Bible, right? How do you explain the Bible? Use more of the Bible, right? And I say that all the time. How do I understand Scripture? Read more Scripture, because it's going to agree with itself. If I don't understand something, let me look at something else. That's why I put all these different Scriptures up here in front of us. I want to make sure we come from all the angles of the Word that you get truth that says, renew your minds. That's where you're supposed to be walking on this earth and renewed minds. Start there. How do you get the renewed mind? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because Jesus even said in John 17 in his prayer for us, he said, sanctify them in truth. Why? Your word is truth. Sanctify them. That's his job. He's going to correct you, make you holy in his word. Start there. All this other stuff, the muck and the mire, you know, the old clothes, the stuff that keeps maybe the whole a besetting sin, whatever that is, right? The fact that it's hard to live through life, go with the word. Start there. As you learn to love God, your devotion and allegiance to God increases. And you learn to love
the things God loves. Because years and years and years ago, Dean Briggs, I don't remember. Dean Briggs was preaching when we had the thing this way. He was doing teaching. And he said, I want to teach you something that my father taught me. So this is like third-handed. It was Dean's father who told him, who told me, and now I'm telling you, right? He said, when you are a Christian and you are loving God, the Ten Commandments become the Ten Promises. Instead of that word shall being something, you shall have no other gods before you, that's not a commandment, that is a promise. You guess what? You shall have no other gods before you. You shall honor your father and mother. It's no longer a commandment or a threat. It describes you. You shall honor your father and mother. Same thing with this in John 14. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's a commandment. No. If you love me, let me describe you. You will be keeping my commandments. And one of the things I have to remind, this renewing the mind thing, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he said, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. Ooh. And he chastises every son he receives, every person. And the word son here means one who inherits. So it's genderless, right? This is the one who is inheriting the kingdom of God. If God loves you, as you walk upon this earth and you have the freedom from the power of sin, when you stumble, and we will, don't freak out. I often say, I don't freak out over when somebody sins. I freak out how they respond to that sin. Right? It's not that, oops, I sinned. Okay, yep, you don't want to do that. But how do you respond to that sin? Does it crush you? Right? Does it break your heart that I sinned again against my God? That's where you need to be. It's your response to your sin, not the fact that, oops, I sinned, because we're going to stumble. How do you respond to that sin? The Lord loves you, and he's going to chasten you. Remember, discipline means training. Chasten means beating. But remember this. For the moment, all this discipline seems painful, and it's not pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Sin has no power over you. Don't let it have power over you. It doesn't. Jesus is your master. So we're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the power of sin. It's not my master anymore. And then, oh, glorious day. There's a day coming. We won't even be in the presence of the muck and the mire. Right? Let me turn. What did I say? Yep. We know this, and I'm sure of this, Jesus. That he who began a good work in you, right? This good work that he's working in you, he who began that work, he'll bring it to completion when? On that day. On that day when Jesus, the day of Jesus, that day of glorification, that's the completion, right? That's boom, I'm now clean. And I can have the right, the privilege, the ability to be the same place God is. Because don't you want to be there? Amen. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Remember, his whole plan is to sanctify you, set you apart. And may your whole spirit, remember? Your spirit, your soul, your body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This body that we have, those of us that will pass on and our body will be put into the ground or whatever, our body will go down, that this earthly vessel we have will go away. We'll be with Christ, with the Father, in his presence. And then there's that day coming when soul, spirit, and body are all put back for his ultimate plan, how he started creation. He's going to make this place go away. Heaven and earth will pass. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You realize that? How long is that going to take him? A couple billion years? Huh? How long does it take God to create the new heaven and new earth? He's going to say, boo, right?
He's going to use his word. New heaven, new earth, come down, this big cube of Jerusalem. There's a place where we will be with him forever, forever. And there will not be sin. There will not be that around. We will be in his glory. When you're going to be gloried, right? Remember, this is another thing, like, I'm not worthy of getting glorification. I'm like, God, you're going to make me glorified? I feel unworthy. Because the glory, as a definition, is high renown, honor, magnificence, great beauty. The glory of God is the beauty of his spirit. It's not just this aesthetic beauty of material beauty, but the beauty that emanates from his character, from all that he is. His honor, majesty, goodness, that's what glory is. Remember, the angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around. It's just a little bit of they had a little reflection because they were close to God. They're getting, Moses had the Shekinah glory going on, right? You got a little reflection coming back from God. It's really hard to grasp that you will be glorified. But why are you going to be glorified? Why? What's his reason? What's his plan? What's his plan? Be with him. You have to be glorified. You have to be made clean. You have to be honorable. You have to be beautiful to be where he is. Who's going to do that? He's going to do that. Because I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what's coming, with the glory which shall be revealed not to us, in us. His plan is to have you with him for all eternity. From the beginning of time, before he even created anything, he's like, I'm going to set it up so that Chuck Lentz is with me where I am. Amen? But our citizenship is in heaven, even now. Paul wrote this to the Philippians saying, listen, right now you are a dual citizen. You're a citizen of this earth, in the country you're in, but you're also, if you're justified legally, you're a citizen of heaven. Amen? And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject everything to himself. He will do it. He's going to make you so that you can be near him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to fellowship. It's for his pleasure that he created you. And he's going to clean you up. You're going to be glorified. Really? That seems kind of boisterous. No, it's what he wants to do for you. Do you realize that? Can you walk that way knowing that there's a day coming that I won't have to mess with this? Amen? He loves you. You're free from the penalty of sin. Been justified? Amen? Are you free of the power of sin? This is where you little tentatively, amen? No, say amen. He's power of sin, has no power over you. And a day is coming when we won't even be around sin. We won't even know what it is. What was that sin stuff? You remember back then? I don't remember it back then. I don't remember, because he said you're not even going to remember what it was like not to be sinless. How amazing is that? It's because of him and his plan for you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you thankful that you're our God. And Father, I look forward to the day that I get to be there where you are. Father, as I look around, I hope I see everybody in this room there with me. We bless your name. Father, and if someone's in this room right now who's yet to have the penalty of sin removed from their life, Father, move in their heart. Give them faith to believe. You are mighty and worthy of our praise. Father, and for the rest of us, as we stumble across this earth, Father, we come to you, say, free me from this power of the sin. It has no power. I confess there is no power of sin in my body. But as I stumble, you will correct me. And we bless your name. We thank you for being our God. We bless your name and say amen, amen.